This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Today is Tuesdays. Guess what that means? It means Tuesdays with Morris. Yes, anyone named Morris, but our first choice is always Dick Morris. He's not easy to get. He has the ear of the President of the United States, but we have certain connections every now and again. You know, we're able to call in a favor with the Lord of Hosts. And here he is, Mr. Dick Morris. Dick, thank you so much for being on today.
Let me explain our relationship. I was sitting on an airplane and I was reading a book about the British guy.
William Wilberforce. The book was called Amazing Grace.
And the book was written by a guy named Eric Metaxas. And I was reading the book and this guy tapped me on the shoulder from the seat behind me on the plane and said, "Do you like my book?" I said, "Yeah." "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Eric Metaxas." So if there was ever, you know, they say that coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. So I got the message and I figured, hang on to this guy. He wants you to talk to him.
I said, when I met you, I remember I had just spoken at Asbury, Kentucky. It's a wonderful Christian university. And I remember that there was some problem. The weather was funny. And I had a choice of two ways to get home because there was a problem. And it was one of those faith moments where you pray, and I prayed and I got on a certain plane and I get on the plane and who's sitting in the seat in front of me? In coach, the famous Dick Morris. And I was so blown away. And you very generously asked the person sitting next to me if you could switch seats with them. And we had a wonderful conversation. God arranged that. That was 2007, which I think technically is 13 years ago. Dick, what a joy to call you friend and to have known you for so long. Now, look, I didn't know that you were speaking with the president literally every day and that you have been speaking to him, that you've known him. You have told us on this program before that your father, who passed away at the age of 100 in 2010, was the lawyer for the young Donald Trump, and that you met him when you were in your 20s. And
the father. Sometimes as I've been advising the president, I said, "You know, sir, I think both of our parents are looking down at us today and liking what's happening."
There's no question. You obviously have been, you know, you were most famously a pollster first for Clinton. And when you're a particularly good pollster as you are, that can be so valuable to people like presidents of the United States. But I'm particularly thrilled, Dick, that you are working with this president right now. Tell us, I know you're not going to talk about the Dominion voter machines. You're not in on that, but you're in on, you're down in the weeds. I heard you last night on Newsmax talk about what we can do. This to me is huge, that you said that we, the American people, have something we need to do and can do. And I want you to tell us about that. So tell us about the swing states and what we can do.
Well, first of all, let me assure you that I am convinced we carried Georgia and Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Arizona. And I'm confident of that because I conducted very large sample polls. Typically, polls are about 500 or 800 respondents. These were 2,000 apiece, so there's almost no margin of error. And it predicted Trump winning all those states by 3 points or more. And I'm convinced that we did. What I'm urging is what the president suggested to me over the telephone the day before yesterday. He said he's convinced that he won and determined to fight this on.
And you're convinced that he won?
Yes.
Okay.
I gave him two quotes, one by John Paul Jones, "I have only just begun to fight." Or was it Stephen Decatur? I'm not sure which one.
No, that was John Paul Jones.
And the other
by... We know it was not Tennyson and it was not Dylan Thomas. It was John Paul Jones.
Oh, I did my Dylan Thomas quote for you over the phone the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I said, "I don't think that's Dylan Thomas." And you said, no, you're right. That's Tennyson. And that's a beautiful quote. But John Paul Jones said, "We have not yet begun to fight." So that's the first quote. Yeah.
And the other is by Dylan Thomas. It was his, he said, "Do not go gentle into that sweet night."
Tennyson.
No, that's.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Yeah.
Well, the charge of the light brigade. Yeah. No, it's well, listen, they're both great quotes. We don't care. We can take credit for them.
Good.
But you're telling me that you feel the president ought to do that. And the president himself is convinced.
Yes.
That without a question, if we counted the votes accurately, he really did win. And you yourself are convinced of that. I take you very seriously.
Yeah, I'm very totally convinced of it. So here's what we need to do. The president emphasized to me that the power to assign electors, to choose the electors who actually choose the president, is vested in Article 2, Section 1, look it up yourself, of the U.S. Constitution in the state legislatures. And the actual quote is on my website, dickmorris.com. And he said that he felt that the key need here was to mobilize the Republican leaders of these states. All of these states that are at issue are controlled by Republican state legislatures. Four of the five have Democratic governors. One has Georgia has an anti-Trump Republican. But the point is all five have Republican legislatures. And he was urging me to tell people to call the speakers and majority leaders of those houses to urge them to count the votes accurately. And specifically what we want is that all signatures be verified. In some states, there's a court order not to verify signatures, but the legislature can override that. Secondly, to make sure that all counting and recounting and auditing is done with a Republican inspector right near it at the table, watching it as it's happening. And finally, that the Trump people be given a full list of the registered voters who cast votes so that they may check that to find out who's still alive and what the deal is. In Georgia, for example, there are almost 200 people who voted who are between the ages of 105 and 110. There are 2,000 who voted who are over the age of 100. There are 27,000 in Georgia who voted who are over the age of 90. Now, I wish the people of Georgia good health, and I celebrate the health of those individuals, but pardon me for believing that maybe some of them didn't vote and they're dead. And we can't tell that until we get the list of the people who voted. So what we're urging people to do is to call, write, and email the Republican leaders of both houses of those states. And those names and phone numbers and hard addresses and e-addresses are now all posted on my website, dickmorris.com.
Okay, we've never done this on this program. We don't do this, but we're doing it now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear this on your radio, if you hear this on your podcast, if you're watching this on YouTube, I am personally begging you to do this for the sake of the world, not just for this nation, because we are the bellwether nation in the world. We hold up the torch of liberty for the world. And all we are asking, think of this, is for an accurate vote count. You don't need to side with Trump. You are siding with justice and righteousness and truth. And we cannot even have an election where someone wins and half the people are wondering if it was legal. That is a sick situation. That is the undermining of democracy for every American. So I want to tell you before we go to this break very clearly, and we'll be back with Dick Morris, we're asking you to go to dickmorris.com. Folks, I'm begging you, please do this. Every one of you, go to dickmorris.com. He has there listed the Republican speakers, majority leaders, whoever it is, in the five states we're talking about. We're talking about Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and is it Georgia?
Georgia.
Okay. So those are the five states.
If you live
and it doesn't matter where you live, whether you live in the state or not, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, that any American would write to them urging them to do these things. When we come back, we're going to go over this. Very important. Don't go away. Folks, I'm back talking to Dick Morris. You know how I love to joke around? We don't have time. This is way too important. I was asking you in the previous segment, and I'm going to ask you again very clearly. Dick has told us that the president asked him to get every American, that's not just the folks in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, every American to write to the leaders, the Republican leaders of these state legislatures, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, to write to them and to ask them, Dick, you mentioned several things. First of all, to not verify to not certify until they have overseen that every signature is verified, that that's not up in the air because that's an ugly loophole, that all the counting would be done with GOP inspectors watching so that there is no question that every vote counted is counted correctly.
Not watching from 40 feet away.
Yeah, not voting from 40 feet away, which is just despicable. And then thirdly, that the Trump Organization would be given a full list of all registered voters so they themselves can check whether the voters are in fact living and registered or dead and obviously shouldn't be on the rolls. So, Dick, that's all at dickmorris.com. This is something every American can do. And if everyone listening to this program were to do this, folks, I don't ask much. I'm asking you for the sake of this republic, not for Trump to win, but for that justice be done, that every American can be confident that this election was not rigged. Because if people feel that cynicism, that's the end of democracy. It's the end of it. So, Dick, forgive me for going on, but I want people to be crystal clear. DickMorris.com, what they need to do.
The situation in these states, in each state, is a little different. In Arizona, they are simply refusing to have a recount, that's outrageous. The law says you're only entitled to a mandatory recount if you lost by fewer than 500 votes, and that's designed for dog catcher elections. But for president in a state that casts 2-3 million votes, you're not going to have a 500 vote margin. In Georgia, they're having a recount, but the inspectors are 40 feet away. There's no way the Republican can see them doing this recount, much less check the ballot.
What is that? What kind of a joke is that? I mean, I don't really even understand.
Democrats being partisan. It's called cheating, Dick.
It's called cheating. How is that possible? How can this be possible that they would allow obviously cheating?
I think Trump's people were asleep at the switch and should have been there in these polling places protesting. Certainly the recount. During the recount, they were protesting, but they were not listened to. Also in Georgia, I think I said earlier, but let me repeat, there were 200 people between the ages of 105 and 110 who voted. There were 2,000 people over the age of 100 who were supposed to have voted. And there were 27,000 people over the age of 90, between 90 and 100, who were said to have voted. And I wish everybody health in Georgia, but somehow I don't think all those people actually voted.
Okay, so, the Georgia in the Soviet Union, that's where they eat yogurt and they live to 160. The Georgia in our country, most people don't live that long. And so this seems a little bit fishy, if I can say so.
So we want to call them and have the phone ring maybe in the casket, see if they're alive, and see if they actually voted. Now, in Wisconsin, there is an honest recount underway, and it started on Friday. It'll take 2 weeks. It's a long process, but I believe at the end of it, there will be justice. Now, in Pennsylvania, there are 1,000 cuts. The first is that the law only requires a recount if the election is within 0.5%, and it is now 0.7%. And I believe that what they did was consciously recount and add phony votes until they could build it up to 0.6%, 0.7%, so as not to trigger an automatic recount. We know that 630,000 votes were cast in Pennsylvania after November 3rd. And the situation with that is this. The Republicans before the election sued and went to the Supreme Court and said, you can't let states count ballots after Election Day. And four judges said yes and four said no. At that point, Barrett had not taken office yet.
Actually, she had taken office, but she recused herself because she said she hadn't had time to prepare to vote on that.
She took office one day before. Yeah.
Right.
So she was right to do that. But the problem then is that after Election Day, it turned out that not only were they recounting after the date had expired, but that they were doing it without Republican inspectors observing it and without verifying signatures. So the Republicans went back to court, and Justice Alito heard it alone. He's the presiding circuit court judge for Pennsylvania, and ruled that they have to pay attention to the requirement, have observers, and check signatures. And apparently they did not do so, even with the revised order by Justice Alito. So the Trump campaign is asking for those 632 ballots to be examined, audited, and potentially disqualified. In Georgia, there's one other wrinkle that's kind of interesting. The reason that they did not verify signatures initially is that there is a consent decree that the Secretary of State, who is allegedly Republican, Raffensperger, my new favorite human being, but is in fact strongly anti-Trump, he signed a consent decree last year with the Democratic Party saying that he would not verify signatures on mail-in ballots, not verify signatures on mail-in ballots. The Democrats had just lost the governorship. Stacey Abrams was the candidate. And she claimed that the Republicans were suppressing the vote and that requiring signatures and verifying them was part of voter suppression tactics.
Yeah, it's obviously racism to expect Black people to be able to sign their names. That's very obvious, Stacey Abrams. So thank you for pointing that out. Please continue.
And the court, so citing this court ruling, which is a consent decree, it was his ruling, but in agreeing to settle the lawsuit on these terms, he committed the state of Georgia not to verify signatures. So that needs to be set aside as well. So this is a long process. It's not going to take a day or a week. It's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. It will be completed, I believe, by the time the Electoral College meets on December 14th. Now, beyond that is the issue of the horrible shenanigans with the Dominion voting system. And there's a lot of evidence that the system was gamed, not only this year, but in 2018 as well, in key congressional races, to switch votes from Democrat, from Republican to Democrat. And in this case, from Biden to Trump.
And people like Elizabeth Warren and other Democrats have themselves warned in years past against using Dominion voter machines. So this is a bipartisan issue. People have seen problems with these machines for a long time.
And it's more than problems. It's China and Venezuela. Dominion Voter Systems is a shell company that's owned by a parent company that was founded by two pro-Chavez Venezuelans. And they worked in cooperation with the Chinese Communist Party to develop the Dominion voter system and the software that it uses. And many states, including Texas, have refused to let that system anywhere near their voting machine because of that reason. Now, this country was paralyzed for 2 years while they invested a phony charge that Trump used Russians to win the election. And that's based on $100,000 of social media advertising that amounted to a drop in the ocean. And this is a Chinese meddling in our election that is motivated by their desire to get Trump out of office and actually cuts at the core of the voter system, the counting. Remember the great quote by Joseph Stalin, "It doesn't matter who casts the ballots, it matters who counts the ballots."
Nothing more cynical, but what do you expect from Joseph Stalin, one of the most evil men in the history of the planet? Dick, we have about 45 seconds left. What can you tell us before we go? What about Philadelphia? Anything?
Let me leave you laughing. My mother was a famous writer of magazine articles and stuff. And she wrote an article about how Svetlana Stalin, Joseph's daughter, defected to the United States. And she developed a lifelong friendship with Svetlana and went to her house in Arizona. And Svetlana had her child on her lap and the phone rang. And she handed the baby to my mother and said, "I have to go get that phone." And my mother, a descendant of Hungarian Jewish immigrants, said, "I am holding Joseph Stalin's granddaughter in my arms."
It is insane. And she, by the way, Svetlana, became a Christian. I don't know if you know that. We're out of time. Dick, we love you. We'll talk to you as soon as possible. Thank you. And I will execute on these things. This is very important. Thank you.
Bless you, Eric. Thank you.
Joining us now by phone, Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team. She is also General Michael Flynn's attorney, former federal prosecutor, best-selling author, one of the country's most prominent appellate attorneys. Sidney, good to have you with us. Dominion voting system seems to be figuring larger and larger in the interest of your legal team. And what is the latest?
Oh, definitely, Lou. I've just gotten some stunning evidence from a firsthand witness, a high-ranking military officer who was present when Smartmatic was designed in a way that the... and I'm going to just read you some of these statements, if you don't mind, so I get them exactly right from the affidavit. Designed in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected. He wanted the software itself to function in such a manner that if the voter were to place their thumbprint or fingerprint on a scanner, then the thumbprint would be tied to a record of the voter's name and identity as having voted, but that voter would not be tracked to the changed vote. He made it clear that the system would have to be set up but not leave any evidence of the changed vote for a specific voter, and that there would be no evidence to show and nothing to contradict that the name or the fingerprint or thumbprint was going with a changed vote. Smartmatic agreed to create such a system and produce the software and hardware that accomplished the result for President Chavez. After the Smartmatic electoral management system was put in place, he closely observed several elections where the results were manipulated using the Smartmatic software. One such election was December 2006 when Chavez was running against Rosales. Chavez won with a landslide over Rosales, a margin of nearly 6 million votes for Chavez versus 3.7 million for Rosales. In 2013, he witnessed another Venezuelan national election where the Smartmatic management system was used to manipulate and change the results for Chavez. And it goes on and on. He was in the control room where multiple digital display screens were shown for results and voting. The actual voting results were fed into that room and onto the displays over an internet feed, which was connected to a sophisticated computer system created by Smartmatic. People in that room were able to see in real time whether the vote that came through the electronic voting system was in their favor or against them. If one looked at any particular screen, they could determine that the vote from any specific area or as a national total was going to be against either candidate. Persons controlling the vote tabulation computer had the ability to change the reporting of votes by moving votes from one candidate to another by using the Smartmatic software.
And Smartmatic, the relation...
Smartmatic...
Sidney, yes, and Smartmatic, the chairman is Admiral Pete Neffinger, who is also on the president, the vice president's transition team, his presidential, presumptuous presidential transition team. That's an extraordinary situation as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So here's the other kicker. When the Smartmatic machines are, when somebody's losing, like, for example, when Maduro and his supporters realized the size of the other guy's lead, they were worried that they were in crisis mode and would lose the election. The Smartmatic's machines used for voting in each state were connected to the internet, reported their information over the internet to the Caracas Control Center real time, so the decision was made to reset the entire system. Maduro's and his supporters ordered the network controllers to take the internet itself offline in practically all parts in Venezuela to change the results. It took the voting operators approximately 2 hours to make the adjustments in the vote from Radonsky to Maduro. Then when they turned the internet back on and the online reporting was up and running again, they checked each screen state by state to be certain they could see each vote was changed in favor of Maduro.
Sidney, you tweeted earlier today about CIA and its association. What have you discovered there?
Well, other than the fact there's no way all this was happening over around and around the world without the CIA knowing about it. I mean, that's just logic. It's been this affidavit also explains it's been used to change election results all over the world. And it's all Venezuelan and Cuban and essentially communist money that's been doing this. It's a foreign-owned company, as you mentioned earlier. The president of it is Mr. Neffinger, who is on Biden's very presumptuous and immediately failing transition team. And people have been reporting this to our government for several years, including Democrats, and nobody's done a damn thing about it, Lou. I can't even express how furious I am over this.
Well, I share your fury and frustration, but I do have some news to break here at this moment. I have received word from a highly reliable source that the FBI does have an investigative team that is now looking into this election. Now, what that means beyond that, but at least it's confirmation that they are investigating, and we'll see what moves, because there had been no indication that indeed publicly that they were involved. They are now. To that point, I'd just like to show, if we could put up the full screen, under what their authorities are when we talk about these state-run elections, even though they're federal elections for at least a sizable number of the candidates. As you see there, the ballot includes one or more federal candidates, an election, a polling place, official abuses of their office, the conduct involving false voter registration, the crime intentionally targets minority protected classes, the activity violates federal campaign finance laws, all of this laid out on the FBI website for anyone to look at. And it appears, Sydney, that at least the FBI has finally looked at that website. I'm not sure it was Christopher Wray, but someone at the FBI, and took action. Your thoughts?
Well, my other thought is that as soon as the Smartmatic system changed the votes that they wanted for their desired candidate, by the time they finish, they achieve a convincing but narrow victory of the certain number of votes they want for their candidate. This person saw, by what his own experience, exactly what was happening there was happening here.
It's it is a deeply troubling election. As I said earlier, the worst in this country's history, bar none. And we have seen official investigative and justice department officials slow to move, and it is infuriating to everyone.
Willful blindness. They have adopted a position of willful blindness to this massive corruption across the country. And the Smartmatic software is in the DNA of every vote tabulating company's software and system.
Yes, and it is more than just a willful blindness. This is people trying to blind us to what is going on. We don't even know who the hell really owns these companies, at least most of them. That's got to change, and we've got to find out exactly what's going on. And thank God we've got a president who will stay in the fight all the way through until we get those answers. Sydney Powell, thanks so much. We appreciate it as always.